Amen. All right. We're looking in the book of Luke this morning, chapter 14. I didn't have any idea yesterday evening, or yesterday, about sometime yesterday when Brian texted me what I might teach. And so I got up this morning, and I hate to try to teach something that I don't know if the Lord, that's where he wants me at, but I feel like it. This is right where we need to be. And y'all do understand, I know any time that a preacher is a preaching or a teacher is a teaching, if he's got the message that God wants him to teach, it's for him just as well as it is anybody else that's listening. So it's for me just as well as it is you. So if I say something that maybe sound offensive, it's directed to me the same as it is you. So just keep that in mind. I'm, you know, not... You all know what I mean. All right, I'm going to read this and just try my best, try to obey the Lord. In chapter 14 of the book of Luke, starting with verse 16, he said, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought a 5 yoke of oxen. I have to go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. That was probably the worst excuse of the whole bunch. Amen, Anthony? Shake your head. I would ask Ralph, but I know he'd be afraid to shake his head. But if you notice, they were all, at verse 18, it makes it pretty plain, they're all excuses. Okay, verse 21. And the servant came and showed his Lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the cities and bring hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. Probably a group of people that we wouldn't care too much about inviting. And the servant said, Lord, it is done. As thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Just want to look at the invited guests for a minute. I'm not going to spend much time there. And the supper that was, I just want us to notice, it was planned. It wasn't something that just come up, you know what I mean? It's something they made a plan for. I thought about just trying to relate this to us and every day. How many of you women have ever fixed supper for somebody, invited them over, and they didn't show up? Nobody? Some of you shook your heads. I know Marie ain't. She don't even cook no more. Do you, Marie? I'm waiting on her to invite me. Well, I'm just kidding about that, but anyway. I got thought about this. And this was something that had been planned for. Evidently, these people had made some kind of an agreement they'd come. But they had excuses. And I looked at these excuses and, you know, not very good excuses, are they? Thought about a man that bought some land and had to go look at it after he bought it, and that don't make a lot of sense. And I found it, bought some oxen. That You know, I had to go try them out. It'd be about like us buying a car today and don't know how many miles it's got on it or if it'll run or what model it is. That don't make a lot of sense either, does it? They're excuses. When it boils right down to it, we have a lot of excuses, and we can come up with some pretty good ones sometime. I thought, if that had been me, I'd just said, I'm sick. That's one we use a lot, more common. Brother Loyal, they don't know where you're lying to them or not. If you buy some oxen that you ain't tried out and you buy some land you ain't seen, that just don't, that's not a very good excuse. But anyway, I don't look more at the servant than I do the invited guest. And I want to look at, also, I just thought about this before we get into the servant. I want to look here at the reaction of the Lord, or the master, or the person which had all this supper. You notice he said supper. I like that part too, Brother Lord. He must have had a little bit of Southern in him somewhere there, because I like supper. They've changed that now. It's dinner now. I don't know how they got that done, but it's still supper to me. I'm just old country boy. I like to go to supper about 5 o'clock. But anyway, the reaction of the master, and that's in verse 21. I want you to look at this. Get it out of the way. Verse 21. And he said, and the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house became angry. So when we make our excuses about not doing what we've obligated to do, and I'm in relation, I thought about this, and I don't want to be critical. Everybody's busy, I know that. And I know the times we live in. Not excusing that, but we had visitation yesterday and we was down a little bit. Brother Lowell. And I hope by the time we get through with this, we'll look at things a little bit different. But in this case here, I mean, I don't know, you know, why people don't come sometimes, and we don't know, but the Lord does, and I wondered. Some of the people that should have been there for visitation yesterday wasn't there. I just wonder what their excuse was. I wonder if they bought some land they hadn't seen or some oxen they hadn't tried out or something like that. Again, the Lord knows. But I just said that to say this. Whatever their excuse was, the master's reaction here, he was angry. And I just say that, I want to say, a lot of times, myself included, we do things like that, and we just kind of brush it off, Brother Rose, and we say, well, it don't matter much, you know, where I'm there or not. But the master was angry here. I think that's worth taking note of. Now, if in the case of visitation, yesterday or a month ago or to come, your excuse, if you're not there, your reason, that's between you and the Lord. Not between me and you and the Lord, but you and the Lord. But I've always felt like I need to be honest with myself and the Lord. Because that's two people that knows. So I'm going to leave that there and go on and look at the servant, because that's the main topic of the lesson today. Notice in verse 22 about this servant. And the servant said, Lord, he recognized the master and gave him honor and glory, I think, by addressing him as Lord. I thought that was important and something that needs to be pointed out. He understood that he was the servant and the master was the Lord. There's a lesson there for us on that. In verse 17, I want us to notice next about the servant. Now this servant was, he was a special servant. I think, just reading this and meditating on it this morning, I think he's a special servant. Brother Rose, I think he's a model servant. Y'all do know we're servants, don't you? Huh? And so there's a model here for us to look at. And this servant was a model servant. He was a special servant. And you'll see why when we go through this, I believe. And he went in verse 17, and he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them, this servant had a responsibility, and that was to deliver a message from the host or the master, or how you want to look at it. He had a responsibility to deliver the message. And his responsibility wasn't what the result was after that. He's just responsible for the message. He was responsible for delivering the message to the guest. Then if you look in verse 21, he was responsible for delivering the results of the message back to the master. Verse 21, so the servant came and showed the Lord these things. He didn't make excuses up for him. He didn't seem to be in a sense of panic or anything like that. He just come back and told him, Lord, these people that you invited, they make excuses up. So he had a responsibility of delivering a message, going back and telling the master. What if he hadn't went back and told him? What if he had just went on like everybody was a-coming? And lo and behold, when everything was set, the table set, nobody showed up. So it was important that him come back and tell the master, Master, they've made these excuses, they're not going to be here. Had a responsibility to deliver the message to the guest and to the master. This was a special servant. Look in verse 22. And the servant said, Lord, it is done. Boy, I like it. The Lord said, they're not going to be here, so we got to make other arrangements. Paraphrasing. He said, go out quickly into the streets and the cities and bring them hither, the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. Special servant, he said, Lord, just like you said, it's just as well as done. He hadn't went yet, but he said, it's done. He showed obedience to the master. He didn't say, Lord, they won't come. They're too busy. They don't care. Lord, it's too late now. What's the use? His reaction is, Lord, it's just as good as done. Whatever you say. This is a special servant. Lord, it's just as good as done. Didn't say, I don't even think, Brother Lord, he even thought about or questioned. I just think he said, that's the master's will. That's what I'll do. Lord, it's done. Special servant. Model servant. Didn't make excuses. Another thing about this servant, look in verse 22. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. This servant had a concern that even though he had invited all these people, and like I said, these were people probably that we wouldn't want to invite. We'd look at them as, somebody said one time, preacher, the deplorables. The deplorables, deplorables. People that you don't want to have much to do with, we kind of But he had a concern that even though he had invited these people, there's still room. I guess the next worst thing to not having nobody there would be to have a table set with all the trimmings and the fixings set on the table and half the seats be full. He was concerned that the house wasn't full. If we come in every Sunday, and I say us, we're just responsible for us, I guess. We're responsible to pray for other churches, but this is our main concern. I wonder, you know, we come in every Sunday and there's plenty of room left, preacher. Do we even have a thought about it? In the sense of concern, I'm trying to say. Not numbers. Not 150 or 100 or 200. Not in that sense. But do we come in with a concern or with a broken heart that, man, we got plenty of room left in here? Again, we have visitation yesterday. And I've already said I'm not pointing at nobody. Don't know nobody's excuses. I hope they're better than these here. But I'm saying there's room left. And our reactions and how we act to things and react to things tells us a lot about what we feel and think. Now, I know we don't like to hear that, but that is the truth. What I do, where I go, what I say, how I look says a lot about me. Says a lot about you too. But he was concerned that there was still room. He's a special servant. He's a model servant. What made him special? What made this servant special? Boy, this is the best part of it. I thought about this. I just lay in and meditating about this servant, kind of relating him to myself and trying to size myself up and where am I at and how good am I doing. You ever do that? Do people ever do anything like that? It's called take an inventory. And that's what I was doing. Man, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about the situation and how common it would be. I mean, I can really relate to this. I remember one time, everybody knows Kathy, that's my wife. I remember one time that she had kind of a family thing, you know what I mean, and a cookout maybe, that type thing. She likes to do that, and she loves her family and likes to get together with them, and I like to get together with them too. But anyway, one time I remember that she had planned this, and everybody beforehand had been invited and kind of agreed to come and this, that, and the other, and she went out and got this and got that and fixed everything up and had the pretty tables and all that. Anybody relating to this? You know what the next statement is, don't you? There was a lot of them had excuses that didn't come. My, was she disappointed. Really disappointed. You know why? I'll tell you in a minute. I don't know if she was angry or not, but she was disappointed. Now here he said the master was angry. I'm going to say she was disappointed. You can relate to that. Why? Because she had put a lot of effort out here. She had spent a lot of money. She had took a lot of time. Sometimes we don't think about things like that. What was special about this servant? You know what was special about it? I think, and boy, this blessed my heart. What was special about this servant? He had saw Everything that went on there that master done. He saw the cost. He saw what it cost. He saw the preparation. He saw the planning that went into it. He saw the labor, the sweat. This is a big meal. It's a big deal. And probably more important than all, he saw the disappointment. Are you listening to me? I believe, again, as I just meditate and thought on this and sized myself up, I thought about this special servant, how sensitive he was to the circumstances. That's what made him special. And then I thought about me, and I thought about us, how that we have forgotten what it cost. There's going to be a great supper one day, you know that? Have we forgot, as God's people, what it cost? Have we forgot about the preparation for it? Well, there won't be no disappointment there. That's one thing about it. I thought about some things over in another place as I was just thinking about this. Over in the book of Galatians, you know, those Galatians, they was on the right track for a while. They were saved by the grace of God, by grace through faith, doing what was right, on the right track and on the right road. You know, I think the same thing happened to us. To us, it happened to them. We lost sight. And Paul wrote to the church at Galate, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he said, you did run well. You did run well. Who did hinder you? Then he made a statement about those Galatians. You know what he said? Oh, foolish Galatians. I thought about us. Would it be possible that the Lord might be saying, oh, foolish Bibleans, you did run well. What happened to you? You know what happened to those Galatians? I'm going to tell you what I think happened to them. This is what I think. I think they got too big for the britches. What makes you say that? Well, Paul wrote there in the same book, he said, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I think we, a lot of times, I know we're saved by the grace of God, and I know we're kept, thank God we are. But sometimes we just get too big for our britches, and we think we're doing it. We forgot what he's done. That's what happened to them. They were saved by the grace of God. You know what they wanted to do? They was going back in under the law where they used to be. Got messed up. We look at, a lot of times we, like I said a while ago, what we say and what we do and our actions speaks, like, you know. We say, I've done this and I've done that. Boy, look what I've done. Look where I'm at. Look what I've got. And it's all I. But that verse there in Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, it brings me back down to earth. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And I'm going to tell you something. It don't matter if John does think he is something, he's still nothing. And that's what I think happened to those Galatians. They got too big for their britches. He said another sobering statement there in that same book. He said, be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so, I would say to all of us this morning, I appreciate all of us being here today. And we ought to be. And we didn't do God a favor by coming. But it's not so much what we're doing here today. It's what we're sowing when we're not here. Be not deceived. Let's don't be so stupid to not know that what we're sowing, we're going to reap. I thought about it again. I keep going back to this, and I'm not. We had a great visitation yesterday, preacher. I mean, we really did, didn't we, Brother Rick? Me and Wayne and Rick went, and we had good reception. One of the best I know of that we've had, and I thank the Lord for that. And I'm not depressed about that at all. I'm upbeat about that. And I'm not going back to it and mention it because I am. But I'm going to tell you something. I thought about this in meditating this morning. The faces of those kids that some of them I looked at yesterday. I'm going to tell you something, people. If those people are not as important to us as my grandkids, or my close relatives, or my best friends, if those people are not as important to me as they are, I'm wrong. And I'm being deceived. And if that's the case, I want to tell you this. It's not me. But I want to tell you something. They're just as important to God. And we have a responsibility. This was a special servant for a lot of different reasons. And he's a model servant. And the master's will was his will. He said, I want you to go out. Invite these people, these deplorables, to come in. And he said, he didn't say, Master, we don't want them kind of people here. Some of them might not smell too good. Some of them might not be clothed just right. Some may not like, they may not even act right. We don't want them here. They'll mess the deal up. No, he didn't say that. He said, Lord, he hadn't left yet. Hadn't done it yet. But he said, it's done. That was the frame of mind that servant had. Lord, whatever you say, whatever you want, you just think it, I'm ready to do it. Wow. What if we had some servants like that today? Like I said to start with, every lesson's for the teacher just the same as it is the student. It breaks my heart. You did run well. Who did hinder you? Oh, foolish Galatians. You know why he said that? You know why he said, oh, foolish Galatians? Real simple. They was being foolish. They were being foolish. In general, when you do that, preacher, you don't get in trouble. In general, the Christian realm today. Now, you can, for whatever reason, you can put your own thoughts on that. But I'd say, or being foolish, wrong priorities, wrong ideas, wrong attitudes. Mastery is done. Boy, this servant was a model servant. He really was. I could see him, man. He was. Every thought he had, I believe, was directed at the master's interest. Brother Rick, we need some servants like that, don't we? That think like that. All of us, I think we're all about the same. I ain't no doubt I've been saved by the grace of God. I believe that. I believe all of y'all have too. And I believe we're going to heaven. And I believe, you know, that's settled. We're not working our way to get there, and it ain't got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with our mindset. What's our priorities, and, you know, how do we think about certain things? And this servant, if we just go back and look at it, study him and meditate about him, he was something else. He was a special servant. What made him special? Well, he saw the effort that went forth to get this supper ready. There was a lot of effort. You know, there's a man named Jesus Christ one day, about 2,000 years ago. He took our sin debt to a place called Calvary and nailed it to an old rugged cross. Now, that sounds simple and easy. But it was a father's thing from that. Brother Rose, he paid a debt that I owed that I couldn't pay. He saw the cost. He saw the preparation. He saw the labor and the sweat that went into it. And he saw the disappointment. I just wonder if the master, when he looks down on us, if he might be disappointed in the way we're doing.